I want to be clear. Dustin, I've never been arrested.
That's right.
Try to find a mugshot on me. Try to find some fingerprints on me. They don't exist because I was simply detained.
And it's a fucking difference. That's right. That's right. There's a difference. There's a difference, E. You know.
Hey, y'all. Ebony K. Williams here, host and attorney extraordinaire. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the very latest in legal headlines, the ones that got all the streets talking. You know what we do? We dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it down, going straight from gavel to your news feed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin Ross?
That's right.
All right, y'all. Let's hold some court. Dustin, my darling, sweet, baby-faced co-host.
Ooh, it sounds so good. Just the way you're on that mic right now. It just sounds so good.
Because it's been too long.
Yeah, feels like home. We
like
back.
Like coming home again.
We've been on holiday.
We have been on a holiday and a hiatus.
That's right. That's right. A fruitful one nonetheless.
But what did 112 said? It's over now.
It's over now. Okay.
Okay. We are so happy to be back in session. And you know who else is back? It's a couple folks back in session.
And by session, we mean?
We mean in that courtroom.
That's right.
So here's what we're getting into on today's docket. All things Puff, right? From the original allegation. We all remember when and where we were when we heard the original allegation from Cassie. And from there, there has been a snowball effect, to say the least.
Yes.
The raid, the allegations including the son.
Yes.
We saw the cuff. It's just been a whole shit ton. So we're going to get into all that. Also, quietly in the news cycle, we saw a little headline about Trey Songz settling a $25 million lawsuit for an alleged rape. I want to connect the dots there, Dustin, about how that correlates and also how it's distinct from the Puff of it all.
And how he had $25 million
down. A lot of people don't even believe it, but we're going to talk about it.
All right.
Then there's O.J. Simpson. I'm not going to give that man too much energy. O.J., we know, died recently. But what I do want to talk to our jurors about, Dustin, is the fact that when you die in debt or there's a judgment against you, that judgment, you might be dead, but the judgment ain't.
How about that?
Okay, you know. So we got to talk about what's going to happen with the money OJ was supposed to pay.
Right.
To the families of Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson.
The Goldman family is ready for their sacks.
They, listen. Okay. They said, where is the coin?
That's right.
The juice.
Okay.
And very lastly, we're going to talk about the historic nature of the case, of the fact that Donald J. Trump is in court. Literally. Now, that's who back in session. He is the first American president, former American president, rather, to actually be in a criminal courtroom in this capacity. We'll talk all about it. We'll talk about jury selection. We'll talk about the judge. And we will talk about if he is convicted, will Trump do time?
Hopefully hard time.
As opposed to soft time?
That's right.
As opposed to his soft belly?
As opposed to our time. Okay.
That's true. All right, y'all. So we're going to get into it. All things holding court. Here we go. I felt, Dustin, it was important for us to start with the story that's most germane to our audience and the culture, and that is the going on, the legal going ons of Sean P. Diddy, Huffy Combs.
People have been waiting to hear what you have to say about this.
They've been waiting to hear what you have to say, a good cultural critic to the very best of them. And we were on our holiday slash hiatus when this really started, so let's go back to go forward.
Yes, yep.
So all of this really first came to our attention in November. I remember, much like I remember where I was when Princess Diana died, like I remember 9/11. Where I was, 9/11, and also the death of the great Michael Jackson.
Absolutely.
I remember where I was.
Absolutely. Literally, it all just came rushing right back to me when you said that.
I was at Serafina,
mm-hmm.
right down the street from where we are recording.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
there on Broadway
yeah,
and
yeah.
50-something.
Yeah, yeah.
Having myself a solo lunch and an Aperol Spritz.
Which we love. I love a good solo lunch, and I love an Aperol Spritz.
It's a little chill in the air. It was November, and people started texting me as I was enjoying my lovely cuisine. And so then I opened up the phone and then I saw a New York Times alert and it said, you know, massive lawsuit filed by Sean Diddy Combs' ex-girlfriend, Cassie, alleging heinous was the word. I remember that word. In
Absolutely.
The Times. Heinous allegations of abuse. And boy, what were we in for?
That was the beginning of it all.
So let me ask you this first, Dustin. When that headline that started it all, we'll get to where we are now in just a moment. But when you read that headline, your first thought was?
God damn, here we go. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to tell you something, for a man of a certain age,
yes,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Diddy represented a lot of things for me, especially coming from the Midwest, him being so entrenched in New York hip hop culture, and then
absolutely.
Transitioning to being a global music executive with impact and influence. You know, that was
global.
Inspirational.
Global.
Global, you know, literally. And so, before I read any of the details, because I have very hard lines when it comes to certain behaviors, mm-hmm. you know?
You mean boundaries?
Boundaries, very hard. I mean, mm-hmm.
points
firm,
of integrity.
Literally. Mm-hmm. And so before I read the allegations, when I just saw the headline, I was so disappointed and let down. And I was like, man, I was hurt for him, sort of, you mm-hmm. know, before I read what had taken place, allegedly.
So let's speak to that, because I think some people are going to hear that, Dustin, and a lot of people are going to identify as such. And a lot of people are still hurt for Puff. I was watching mutual friend of ours, Jason Lee, was being interviewed by Cam Newton. I encourage everybody to check out that podcast. Shout out to Funky Fridays with Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Really, really good interview. But it was very clear in that both Jason and Cam, neither in defense of the alleged behavior.
Right, right.
But they both were unapologetic in being black men expressing heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see it.
Yeah.
To see somebody who has been an icon in many ways, culturally has raised us. I mean, we all got, you know, parents are real guardians.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
And I just want to speak as a child of pop.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But you know where I'm going with this.
Absolutely.
So, hip-hop, of course. Harlem, of course. New Jack Swing and mm-hmm. Mary and all of that. Bad mm-hmm. Boy and Uptown. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But at some point, there was an evolution, I would argue, of Puff in the pop culture vein.
For sure.
So now we're talking about Making the Band.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about Lori-Ann Gibson,
yeah,
right?
The MTV era.
Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about still walking across a bridge to get a cheesecake from a place I'd never heard of at that time, but now I'm very familiar.
Junior's. Uh-huh. It ain't even that good. But
no,
go
it's
ahead.
Really not, but he was doing the most with that. But
hey,
the point is I'm 40 years old now. Mm-hmm. That show had to have come out over 20 years ago, and I still recall that.
For
that
sure.
That is what do they call it? A core memory.
A core memory unlocked.
Unlocked.
Yeah, yeah.
So, back to when I read the headline, my first thought, Dustin, was, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, I thought it was going to be, and this to me speaks to, even in my lens, how normalized,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say bad behavior, I'm going to say unconscionable behavior, I'm going to say at some point intolerable behavior has become in our culture today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I read the headline and I was wholly expecting to see more of the same. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is more of what we've always heard
mm-hmm.
about Puff
the
and
whispers.
The parties and the whispers. And I think, you know, we can say this, right, Dustin? You and I think we represent an adjacency, just by virtue of what we do and where
sure.
we do it. Being,
for sure.
you know, in New York multimedia mm-hmm. culture, being in LA media culture,
mm-hmm.
On occasion being in Atlanta
for sure.
media culture,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Miami
media culture. Yeah.
Okay. So if it's not us individually in our own capacities, we've been around enough people
mm-hmm.
directly
mm-hmm.
that have been in these spaces.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yep.
So I was expecting, when I opened the New York Times article, which is where I saw the breaking news, and I thought, I think at the time it was the most comprehensive coverage, including a link to the complaint itself.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting to read versions of the same narrative.
Yeah.
So what, you know, getting drunk, maybe orgies, things
mm-hmm,
like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not condoning, I'm not condemning.
Yeah.
Let's be clear.
Yeah.
But more of that. So when the allegations went to places of rape.
There you go.
When they went to places of aggressive beatings,
mm-hmm.
Broken noses, black eyes. And I'm going to kind of stop here because mm-hmm. I don't want to trigger anybody listening who
and has, that's sufficient.
And, you know, and y'all know what it said because
yeah.
y'all read it.
Yeah.
That is when, for me, it changed.
Mm-hmm.
That is when, for me, I realized this was something different.
Mm-hmm.
This was something much, much more egregious, much, much more intolerable and unconscionable. And that is when I instantly knew, just reading the complaint, that this was going to go another way.
Yeah.
This was not going to be another, and we're going to get to the Trey Songz in a second. Just we're going to just touch it because it's not a lot legally to it that we know at this time. But this is not just going to be another quiet settlement.
No.
Now, what we do know, Dustin, is it did become a settlement within 24 hours.
Yeah, too late.
Right. A day too late and a dollar short.
Yeah, $30 million alleged dollars short.
And I suspect more. I'm just saying that. We know that she filed on one day, and within 24 hours, there was a huge settlement, an undisclosed amount, along with what is standard in these things, which is a statement of non-admission of guilt.
Yeah.
And I want to just say this, because this is holding court. Mm-hmm. I believe we have humbly and gratefully earned the right to be one of the most credible destinations.
You better know it.
Yeah, when it comes to the culture and Black folk in this country, being able to get and gain credible, authentic, legal analysis.
Absolutely.
So I have to say, and it is true, and I say this from a person who practiced criminal defense law for many years, simply because someone settles does not mean they are in fact guilty.
Right.
There are lots of reasons people settle. One of them could be that there is enough evidence available to prove liability. That is one reason. But another could be, and I've even advised clients that we might want to think about settling. Why? Because by the time you continue to pay my bill, which is your legal fee tally, by the time we have to come up with our corroborating witnesses, by the time we have to hire an investigator, by the time we have literally invested in all the things required for a zealous and successful, even potentially successful defense, well, hell, we might as well have wrote the check.
And move on with our lives.
I'm going to give you a real good example of where this is showing up right now. Very, you know, not the most highly profile case. The brother that did the Soul Train. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
The voice of Soul Train. That's a gig that you would have done. Like,
that's
if
right.
he was doing Soul Train right now, that voice would have definitely been Dustin Ross.
Welcome to the Soul
Train.
That's right. That's right.
Well, that gentleman is suing because as Soul Train now goes into streaming distribution and other platforms, podcast format, he is no longer being paid, and his original deal was to be paid in perpetuity. And as perpetuity has now changed, he's being cut off financially. And he's saying, no. So he's suing. And Soul Train, he's suing for $75,000. So at that point, cut the check. Whether his merit is strong or not, cut the check.
Cut the check.
So I'm going to go back to Diddy. Now, we don't know how much that check ultimately was for. I'm talking about the check to Cassie. But I suspect that there were a few different reasons that encouraged Mr. Combs to settle. And settle he did. But that was just the beginning. And I think a lot of people thought that that would be the end. Now, I will tell you, not just me, anybody I think with a staunch legal compass experience, so all like my go-to legal comrades, you know, we exist in different group chats. You know, everybody got a group chat. We all were like, well, if this is not the opening of a federal investigation, we saw the criminal part afoot immediately.
That was my next question for you. That was going to be my next question for you. What was it? I think that people who are not, you know, legally astute, right? They just focused on the Cassie and Diddy of it all and not necessarily saw what would happen moving forward. What was it that you saw that made you know that this was going to knock down a lot of other dominoes, so to speak?
Yeah, very literally. So one of the things was the claim in Cassie's lawsuit that alluded to sex trafficking.
Yeah.
When you start talking about an allegation of your abuser bringing other participants, male and female, I believe in this case, across state lines, you don't allege that for no reason. That level of specificity is there for a reason. That is to put the federal government on high alert that this needs to be looked at from a criminal federal lens. It is my suspicion, based off of what we now know, that by the time Cassie and her legal team filed that initial civil suit, Dustin, in November of 2023, there was already cooperation
taking place
between Cassie and the federal investigation. Absolutely.
What do you think came first?
Well, now you asking me to look in the crystal ball.
Yeah. I have so many questions.
No, it's good. I believe the criminal aspect came first. I do. Now, when I say that, what I don't know and I won't pretend to know, Dustin, is does this mean that Cassie walked up to a law enforcement, whether it's a local police office or the feds, and said, hey, I got a story to tell, knock, knock. And then that's, or did they come to her
and say, this is what we're doing?
Correct. We're inviting you. And by invite, wink, wink, bitch, here's a subpoena.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it could have gone either way. It could have gone a multitude of ways that factor those elements in different ways. Mm-hmm. But what I have on a good faith reason to believe.
Yes.
That the criminal aspect of the federal investigation as it relates to Sean Combs predated the civil piece. And I believe probably what happened, Dustin, is that at some point Cassie was told, this might be a time where you might want to consider your own counsel.
Yeah.
Okay. And keep in mind what's happening in the background of this. New York has a special 1-year statute. It's called the New York's Adult Survivor Act, mm-hmm. which gave that 1-year look back window. This is the basis in which E. Jean Carroll was able to successfully so far sue Donald Trump for her rape and abuse allegations.
Yep.
Okay, so that was 1 year in which no matter where, I mean, not where, but when, because you had to be in New York jurisdiction, but no matter when your alleged abuse or assault took place, whether it was 1992 mm-hmm. or yesterday, you could bring that claim. In a civil, we're not talking about criminal, in a civil capacity. And your remedy in a civil capacity, again, is money. That is the only remedy. So those that are out there condemning, whether it's Cassie or Eugene or any other, whether it's Drew Dixon, who of course has had and currently has a new claim against Russell Simmons, that is the only available remedy in civil court.
Mm-hmm.
There is no incarceration remedy on the table. There is no mental health treatment order on the table. There is no anger management. Those are not available remedies in civil court. Now, we go to criminal. We can talk about all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to civil, you can only get one thing. Justice only looks one way in a civil court, and that is money.
Okay. So what's okay.
No,
so
let's slow it down. Mm-hmm.
The New York Survivors Act, it has now expired, correct?
Yes, it has. It expired at the very end of November of 2023. That's why I'm parsing it like this, Dustin. I believe whatever conversation, whoever initiated it between Cassie and the federal government was going on, and it became somebody, and I don't want to take any credit from Cassie or her legal team. They might have on their own volition.
For sure, for
very
sure.
Very much so. Somebody somewhere flagged that this clock is running out. So if you believe you plan to pursue an action in your own name,
now's the time.
Now is the only time.
Yeah.
Because let's be clear. But for that, she would have been prohibited per the statute of limitations.
Have you heard the rumblings that there was some communication between Cassie and Diddy before the lawsuit went
public?
Oh,
I don't even need to. No rumblings. No, I haven't, because, you know, I'll be inside.
Mm-hmm.
I won't be outside.
Right. Well, I heard, you know what I'm saying? I heard that.
But I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I already know that, because that is standard operating behavior. To your point earlier, Dustin, for those that don't live in this legal world, mm-hmm. for any reason, you don't work in it, you don't live that life, whatever the reason, that is customary, ordinary course of business to have what we call pre-litigation conversation,
mm-hmm.
where I'm going to tell you what it looks like. It's not as messy as it could sound. It could be a call or a text, but normally what it is actually a letter on a four corners document typed mm-hmm. up and signed mm-hmm. on letterhead
mm-hmm.
from the potential complainant. So this would be in Cassie's case, Cassie, from her attorney to Mr. Combs' legal counsel. And Mr. Combs, dear sirs and madams, I have a client. I currently have been retained to represent Miss Cassie Ventura. She has these potential claims ready to go, up into and including, but not exclusively, boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
In anticipation of us filing a lawsuit in this district court, da 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 da, with potentially this much demand, we are presenting an opportunity for you to come to the table and talk about how to make this go away.
Mm-hmm.
That's not illegal. That's not sketchy. That's not even salacious. Dustin, that's normal operating course of business and procedure.
Why didn't he? And to be clear, I'm not trying to absolve him of any responsibility in this, right?
It don't sound like that to me.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
It begs the question of why he did not pay her take then.
That. Right. So if you were going to take that. Oh, I didn't even mean to do that.
I don't think anything is funny about this Diddy shit. And that's the first time that this has brought a laugh to my soul concerning it. But why wouldn't he have just paid her then?
Right. If all you were going to do is turn around and pay her 24 hours after the lawsuit was filed. Well, I think there's only one logical conclusion, and that is because they thought she was bluffing.
God damn. See, I don't get it.
I know that sounds overly simplistic, but let me walk you through what's going on in my head, Dustin. See, when you believe, and I'm not surprised at this belief, coming from if any of these allegations are to be believed, the power dynamic that had to have existed between Mr. Combs and Ms. Ventura, Cassie and Diddy, there would be a pattern of behavior that would indicate to him, who would then indicate to his legal counsel, she just talking. Trust me, I know her. You don't know her. I know her. She ain't no way she's going to pull the trigger, pun intended, on naming me in this public arena with such horrendous allegations and knowing all of the backlash that she will endure. And let's be clear, she has endured backlash. And I could see Mr. Combs, Puff, saying, ain't no way that this young girl, because 17 years old, I believe, when they first started any relationship, including business and personal. So his lens of her, Dustin, is not as a mother of, what, she got two children, married woman, with a man supporting her, with, you know, legal counsel around her, with that, he's probably not even seeing her that way. He's seeing a 17-year-old, intimidated, fragile, scared, impressionable woman child.
That is so stupid.
And saying, ain't no way she gonna come against the king, because he's the king, right? That's certainly how he perceives himself. And not just him, let's be clear. Many in the industry, many in the business world. What have we learned about Sean Combs? Some of us learned, some of us revisited. This is not a man who just plays in the hip hop pool or the music pool. This is a man whose close companions and mentors are multi-billionaire white power brokers, not even just in America, y'all, globally. Have y'all not seen the photos I've seen? This man's closest inner circle was not, at this point, may he rest in peace, Andre Harrell.
Right.
That was the beginnings. This man has now ascended to billion-dollar power brokers in the global business landscape. People that can make people go away like this.
The stakes are much higher now.
Much higher. His access to power is much higher. So if you're doing the analysis, you're doing the math, Dustin, and you're thinking from that framework, ain't no way. Cassie, who that? Who gonna believe that?
Shit.
You know? So that's what I think. I believe that there was a gross underestimation of her willingness to bear the responsibility and take the hits, literally, of the publicity, of black culture, of music culture, of everybody that would condemn her, because we know victim shaming is real. And that, again, that doesn't even seem like a big enough term, right? But he's like, it's no way she's gonna take that. And I think, to his awe and surprise,
oh, she did.
Oh, but she did.
Yeah. Reprehensible behavior is reprehensible behavior. So those allegations that were made are quite serious. And as we see it unfolding, you know, right in front of our face, they're affecting many, many people in his family. Many people, you know, it is unbelievable to see.
Let's talk about family for a second. And y'all know we spent a lot of time there and needed to be spent, because we are just now starting our analysis here at Holding Court on all things Sean Combs, and know that probably, if not every episode, every other one, we'll be revisiting this, because what we're seeing, Dustin, in real time, we started this thing in November. Since then, Lil Rod has brought a civil suit alleging many, many things. We've got other Jane Does have brought civil suits. Excuse me, there has been, there have not been any criminal charges of any nature. I want to be clear. Sean Combs, to this day, as the date of this recording, April 15th, 2024, has not been criminally charged with a single thing. And yet, we all watched on our televisions or our phones where Homeland Security Investigations, which is a branch of the federal government. And I really spent some time going down a rabbit hole of how we got to the creation of Homeland Security investigations. So Homeland Security, Dustin, is a byproduct of 9/11. Going back.
Really?
Yes. And I really want people to turn your volume up right now, because it's easy to think like, oh, FBI, Homeland Security, whatever, the feds are the feds. No. No. Homeland Security is a byproduct of 9/11. After 9/11, a lot of things, the Patriot Act, a lot of things came to be. And Homeland Security is one of them.
Okay.
It is a specific branch of federal investigation, Dustin, that comes into play when there are suspicions or elements involving terrorism, involving foreign boundary, foreign jurisdiction crossing.
Yes.
That anything that is suspected to jeopardize the safety and security of the United States of America. From that lens. You connecting it now?
Absolutely.
So that's different, right, than the FBI, right? The FBI is going to be your standard. This is where we saw R. Kelly, your standard RICO, your standard criminal organization enterprise type of thing, your standard crossing state line thing. That's feds. That's the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation. When you get to home, it's in the name.
Homeland.
All right, so I'm going to leave it there because I don't want to do too much with it yet.
Yeah.
But holding court listeners, my jurors, God, I miss y'all. Mm-hmm. I want y'all to just put that right there on a shelf.
Developing.
Immerse yourself in the fascinating tale of Song of Solomon by the legendary Pulitzer Prize winning author Toni Morrison. It's a mesmerizing coming-of-age masterpiece, and it's captivated readers all around the world. Follow the protagonist, Milkman Dead. He's born shortly after a neighborhood eccentric hurled himself off a roof in a vain attempt at flight. And for the rest of his life, Milkman, too, will be trying to fly. As Morrison follows Milkman on a quest to uncover his roots and himself in his Rust Belt hometown to the place of his family's origins, she introduces an entire cast of strivers, seeresses, liars, and assassins. The inhabitants of a fully realized black world. As the New Yorker put it, Morrison moves easily in and out of the lives and the thoughts of her characters, luxuriating in the diversity of circumstances and personality. Whether you're a seasoned reader or new to Toni Morrison, Song of Solomon is a must-read, and it will ignite your imagination and leave you wanting to read much more Morrison. Song of Solomon, a timeless tale that will stay with you long after you've turned its final page. Available now at tonimorrison.com and wherever books are sold.
Developing.
Yeah.
Okay, now.
Wow.
Look, yeah, right? Okay, so you talked about children, and that's been a big part of, I think, the culture's critique as to how this whole thing is playing out. Without defending the alleged actions of Sean Combs, many are saying, Dustin, and I hear you even saying, but why are the kids in cuffs? Why are the children in cuffs? Now, I know that we say children and we don't necessarily mean it literally, but they are his children.
Right.
And we know them as children because we watched them be born, grow up, all of it from Quincy to Christian to Justin. Remember, wasn't Justin's a restaurant at one point?
It was.
Remember
absolutely
that?
In Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And they were supposed to have one here, I think.
Yeah. So like they too are a part of our core memory. And then, of course, there are the literal children, which are the twin girls.
Yeah.
The daughter, Chance.
Chance, yeah.
And little baby.
Yeah.
Love. So let's talk about Christian and Justin for a second, because those are the two young men. And they are young men who were seen in cuffs during the initial Homeland Security raid in the Los Angeles home.
Yeah.
And I want to be clear, they were not arrested, neither. Mm-hmm. They were simply detained. Mm-hmm. Holding court news break, because I want to speak to everybody listening about what the difference between an arrest and a detention.
Okay.
I'm gonna be funny for a minute just because it's heavy. Right?
Yeah.
So I've never been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you might remember there was a little talk back when I was on that show, Real Housewives of New York. Oh my God, she was caught shoplifting when she was 17. It was in the Daily Mail and shit. We know who leaked it. I want to be clear. Dustin, I've never been arrested.
That's right. God damn it.
Damn it.
Okay.
I don't try to find a mugshot on me. You won't find it.
That's right.
Try to find some fingerprints on me. They don't exist. Because I was simply detained.
And it's a fucking difference. That's right. That's right. There's a difference. There's a difference, E. You know.
But for real, so many of you. Thank God I'm grown and can laugh about it now. Y'all know, go check out archival episode of Holding Court. I talk much about all of this scenario when I was a young, silly 17-year-old. Ultimately, those charges were dismissed outright due to a deferred prosecution program. Ask your local prosecutor about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was detained. And the difference is when you are detained, you can be cuffed. You cannot be cuffed. You will be asked to, and keyword there, asked to participate in questioning. And you can participate or you can opt out, actually. The point is this. Law enforcement, state, local, or federal, has the right to detain those who they feel are germane to their investigation. But the test, whether or not you are arrested or detained, is one simple question. Am I free to leave? So had Justin or Christian, and why would they know this? This is literally something I'd never heard of till I got to law school. The test is, am I free to leave? If you are simply detained, the answer is yes. Yes. Now, they're going to have an attitude. They're not going to want you to leave because the reason they detained you in the first place is they want information from you.
Yeah.
But if you are not arrested, meaning they do not have probable cause, if you have not been read Miranda rights, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say today, that is constitutionally triggered, Dustin, per arrest. You will not hear those rights if you are simply detained. So if you ever find yourself in cuffs or law enforcement, get in the back of my car and hooked down on the ground and all this stuff, and you say, what about my rights? What about my rights? And you realize you ain't been read no Miranda rights, you're probably not under arrest.
Yeah.
And you actually can say, officer, am I free to leave? And he gonna be like, God damn it, he best been listening to motherfucking Holding Court, Ebony and Dustin, every time.
It's an image award.
Right, got it. And that ain't got an award, shit.
So, wow. Yeah. So, damn, okay.
So, those two young men were detained. They have obviously since been, they were released immediately, within probably 20, 30 minutes of that. And then their mother, their respective moms, they have different moms, right?
Yeah, they do. Christian's mom has passed away, Kim Porter.
Kim Porter and
Misa Hilton Brim. Yeah.
Famed stylist and iconic influencer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Misa has been vocal in saying that the aggressive tactics were military-like. And I don't disagree with that. So then becomes a question is, do they have a legal claim? The two young gentlemen, Christian and Justin, as to excessive use of force as it relates to the way in which law enforcement engaged with them. And so we'll wait to see about that.
You know, we don't hear from Misa. We haven't heard from Misa a lot
since
over
that
the
DUI.
Years.
That's the last time we heard from
and
her.
And that was the first time
we
heard from
her. And that was the first time. I
agree. After years of stories and all sorts of things that she had some sort of proximity to. So, you know, for her to be speaking out.
I concur. Well, like a lot of mothers, she not playing about her kids.
Mama Bear. That's right.
She not playing about her kids. And I appreciate, from at least those two examples, Dustin, I appreciate the consistency. The first one. She really wasn't so much defending the alleged behavior
at all.
She was simply saying, like, if my son is not going to get all of the supervision and protection that he should be getting at this age from you, Puff, we might need to revisit the situation. And then in this case, and I want to say that ultimately, I think he did some community service or something, and he has been adjudicated.
Yes,
is the point. But now, but to this, you know, hey, you want to ask my son some questions that relate to his father's activity? Probably okay, but not like this. My son has not done anything wrong, and particularly her son, because Justin, again, not excusing or enabling any overly aggressive force towards him either, unreasonable military force towards him, but he is a named defendant in some of the subsequent legal claims, civil lawsuits. One is against Christian, I believe.
Yeah, that's new.
That's the new one.
Mm-hmm.
A 26-year-old woman who was acting as a bartender on a yacht.
Yeah.
And this was recent. This was relatively recent. This was December of 2022. She alleges that Christian, then 26 years old, drugged her and sexually assaulted her, groping and things of this nature. She alleges that she has audio to back this up, where she's saying, no, 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 no. He's allegedly advancing. And the only reason she says it didn't go to a full-on rape situation was because someone else entered the space. Allegedly, there is audio evidence of this, remains to be seen, but this is what is being reported before this goes further. Other consequences. Sean Combs has had to step down from his role as chairman of Revolt, and Revolt has also subsequently been sold. It mm-hmm. has a whole new proprietor. So at some point, and I think many of us, you know, full disclosure, I used to work at Revolt. I know you've done projects
for sure.
with Revolt.
Yep.
Many of our colleagues still are in that space. I think we all kind of knew just stepping down as chairman wasn't going to be enough distance between Sean Combs and the network with this level of escalation.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thinking was, if it just stops at the Cassie lawsuit and settlement, with enough time and distance, maybe there would be an opportunity for reconciliation between Puff and the network. Obviously, things have gone from bad to worse.
Absolutely.
And so there now, the network, I believe, has been sold to Richard Lou Dennis, mm-hmm. current owner of Essence. So still, Revolt's still black owned, but not owned by Sean Combs anymore, literally.
They've literally cut ties.
Literally. Also cut ties with Ciroc and
Diageo.
He no longer gets any piece of those business dealings. His school, Capital Prep Harlem, that was a day school that he had opened, a charter school. That school will remain, but it has completely severed its relationship with Sean Combs.
Ultimately, like I said, the behavior is the behavior, right? So if these allegations of rape and abuse and physical abuse and all these horrible, reprehensible things are true, then hey, it is what it is, and you deserve whatever consequences come your way. It's just been fascinating to watch this house of cards fall. Yep. So there's just so many layers to this. There's so many layers to peel back.
Yeah.
That are,
and we're going to keep peeling them.
I mean, we have to at this point, but this onion is stinking.
Yeah.
And I didn't know.
I'm going to tell you what's not stinking. I'm just now really looking at your shirt good as we get good into this docket. Wow. Oh, my God.
AI.
That is the love of my motherfucking life.
Well, since we got to embrace AI, I'm going to embrace this one, Allen Iverson, okay?
And he bought me 2 dozen roses. Do you see that on the shirt?
And guess what it says? Gangsters
by flowers.
I said, this shirt speaks to me.
And what it's doing is speaking to me. I want you to leave it.
I'm going
to
get you. You can have it. In fact, I'll get you one. Shout out to Bauhaus in Flint, Michigan.
That's
it's a really dope clothing store.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just the love of my life. I'm telling you. Like when I was coming into my girlhood, that's how I knew I was feeling away.
Yes.
Because the iconic Allen debonair.
Iverson. That's right.
I mean, the culture will never be the same. Basketball will never be the same. I don't care. The only ring he needs is the one I'm going to give him.
That's right. Allen Iverson was so – he literally had the game in a chokehold. You know him and the Brat used to date. She's told stories about how she, you know, was getting into altercations with women in hotels.
I'm sure.
You know,
me and Brat would have been fighting.
Over that one.
Over that particular one. Over that one.
Oh, you get it real funkified up in here, okay?
Whatever. I've been pulling cornrows and everything.
Okay, that's
bitch.
It. It's been beads and braids everywhere. Yeah, Allen Iverson.
Ooh, baby. Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to AI.
I said I was going to get back to this Trey Songz. I'm going to just drop a bucket in it real quick.
Okay.
Trey Songz has settled $25 million lawsuit for alleged rape. A lot of people were like, they didn't even know Trey Songz had $25 million. Well, I mean, that's what people would say to come. Apparently he does.
Okay.
Or somebody does. Somebody let him hold a little something because this has happened. Now, again, we've all heard rumblings of Trey Songz and alleged abusive behavior for years. Now, not as many years as Puff because his career has simply not had that.
He's younger.
He's relatively, you know, 10 years maybe on the scene. Anyway, as of April 10th, so just recently here, it has been revealed that the parties involved have reached a conditional settlement, but the terms of the agreement are unclear. Conditional, of course, meaning if you do this, I will do that. So that's giving check needs to clear.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's be clear, an agreement to pay is not payment.
Yeah,
and let me say that one more time. An agreement to pay is not payment.
For sure.
Right? So whoever the other party is saying when the wire transfer is complete,
then so is this.
Then that's when we will go file for the dismissal.
I've never heard it announced at that stage in the process before. Mm-hmm. Usually you hear that it's settled.
Well, I not think a this is him. I bet. I could, and on this one, mm-hmm. I'm going to go into my crystal ball a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it goes something like this, Dustin. Somebody is saying it's some studio head or network head, Mr. Neverson, we would like to move forward with you on this project or headlining this event. Mm-hmm. But we cannot do so with these particular outstanding allegations. Mm-hmm. So we need them adjudicated by any measure.
Yeah.
And once you take care of this, we can move forward.
Yeah.
That would give him the urgency, Dustin, to put this type of headline out a bit prematurely. Because I agree with mm-hmm. you. I think to talk about a conditional settlement mm-hmm. is a little premature, but that means there must be some urgency, likely on his part, because mm-hmm. we don't even know the names of most of these alleged victims.
Yeah.
So this is Trey Songz' camp saying, we're almost at the finish line. Let's change the news cycle on it.
Okay.
That's the only way that makes sense.
That explains it. Because why would you even do that?
Yeah. The settlement agreement conditions dismissal of the matter on the satisfactory completion of specified terms, again, that are not performed within 45 days of the date of the settlement. And the only term that matters here is the money.
Yeah.
Which is why I said when the wire is clear. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you my own personal experience here.
Okay.
When I bought my house.
Yes.
I was excited. Mm-hmm. I worked hard for it. You know some of the ups and downs.
And it's one to be excited about. Oh, it's a beautiful home profile in the New York Times, might I add. But, you know,
just a little baby flex. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it involved a great deal of cash and money mm-hmm. along with the mortgage. And, you know, we spent all day at the lawyer's closing office and this, that, and the third. And I just knew when I left the lawyer's office, shout out to my lawyer, Evans LaGrosse, black mm-hmm. man, Haitian man, mm-hmm. good man. If you're in New York, you need to buy some property. Shout out to Evans. I left around 4 p.m. We had been there since 8 o'clock. It was a full day, Dustin. We signed a million documents for real. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd been to Chase that morning and got all my, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ducks in a row.
And I said, okay, we're done. And he said, congratulations, da-da-da-da-da. And I held my hands out for my keys.
Like, what's up?
Evan said, oh, what's that for? I said, where are my keys? He said, oh, you can pick them up. In a couple of days, mm-hmm. when the wire transfer is complete, mm-hmm. this little paper you done gave me is good. We appreciate it, Ms. Williams, but it is only an indication of the what intention to pay. Mm. So until that, because anything, a crazy bitch could do a what? Stop payment. Crazy bitch could clear out the account. Crazy bitch could have the money there today, but now all of a sudden I done bought a Maserati, whatever.
Anything.
A lot can happen before the complete satisfaction of the payment is complete. So that is just a perfect example of a conditional
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
term.
Like, okay, we here with it, but once it goes through.
Yeah, that's when you can get the keys. So wow. Trey Songz gets the keys to the house when the money has been completely transferred. And that's that on that. Mm. Again, we don't know the name of these accusers here. Jane Doe is what's listed in the document. According to the Vulture, publication, I should say, the first claims were made in a $20 million lawsuit. However, that case was dismissed because of statute of limitations. So, again, this was not one claim. This was not even two claims. And this was like several claims. The Keke Palmer has spoken out publicly about her very horrible experiences with Trey Songz. And then I remember, and this was really good, this resurfaced recently in light of all the Wendy Williams of it all, which we'll get to Wendy and her legal battles later on in this season of Holding Court. Mm-hmm. But I love this clip because it's Keke on the Wendy show, and Wendy's saying some things like, and I'm paraphrasing, Dustin, but Wendy said something like, well, when you saw it get toxic, why didn't you leave the party? Like, mm-hmm. why did you stay? Victim blaming. And Wendy says something audacious like, because I know that he didn't say that, or I know. And then Keke said, but do you know?
Got her right together.
Mm-hmm. But she said, the gag is, Wendy, you weren't there. Mm-hmm. The gag is, Miss Wendy, mm-hmm. at your elder station in life and at your big mm-hmm. age, you were not present.
And how dare you?
So you cannot speak to me about what he did do and didn't say and what you would have done and didn't say, because, ma'am, you were not there. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's a life lesson for all of us, Dustin.
Mind your damn business.
Yeah, because guess what? We weren't there.
You weren't there. I don't want to be involved any damn way, mm-hmm. half the time, mm-hmm. most of the time, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I love you know, creating distance between myself and some mess. I don't want to be involved. So if you weren't there, then just, you know, stick to the facts.
That's it. So that is that with Trey Songz. That was a really, really aggressive lawsuit, too. I just want to go into a few of those allegations really quick. This Jane Doe here in this case said that Trey Songz threw her to the ground and raped her, and she begged him to stop. After the alleged assault, the victim claims that a concerned rideshare driver took her to a near. She actually went to a hospital where she received medical treatment and counseling, probably also a rape kit. That's probably part of why the settlement moved forward. See, all of that type of preliminary evidence, Dustin, will go towards incentive to settle. Jane Doe's lawyer says this, the case is much more than about one singer and one viciously abused survivor who has the courage to take some action. It's about a systemic sexual abuse in the music industry and the music industry's complicity in silencing sexual abuse survivors. It's virtually impossible to believe that those executives are not and were not aware of the institutionalized sexual abuse. Okay, so now we got to mention the viral interview of the year, you know, Cat Williams, which for whatever you thought of it, he did say something that I think is proven to be prophetic, at least poetic, rather, at least thus far. And that is, this is the year of the reckoning. Yeah. 2024.
That's what it's looking like for sure.
I mean, what are we not? We just out of Q1.
Yeah.
We barely. Just get barely.
So, wow. Much so, love to these victims.
Listen, and much love to the victims seeking and in this case, getting some justice, because we know that unfortunately, every time you have the courage and the bravery to say something, you don't always get rewarded for it.
More often than not, you don't.
You don't.
Yeah.
Right. And so to see that is a good thing, and especially in our particular business.
For sure.
Okay, so O.J. Simpson, I'm not going to spend any time mourning this man. I'm not. If y'all want to put up these airbrush T-shirt Bronco Chase memorials, y'all do that. I don't have anything at all to say in terms of that. What I will tell y'all about, and the only reason I'm even mentioning this man's name on my show, is because y'all do recall that he, while found not guilty of the criminal murders of Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson, he was found civilly liable. Here we go again with that particular vein of justice.
The money.
To the tune of $33 million was awarded by a California civil jury because he was found liable for the deaths. So he proximately caused the deaths of these two individuals, according to this jury, and he needed to pay them out. So because he died without paying said judgment, because to some extent it is true that a judgment, Dustin, is only worth the paper it's written on unless you can effectively demand payment and then get it. He died without paying anything on this bill. What doesn't happen, and the only reason I really wanted to talk about it on the show today, Dustin, is because people, our jurors, for better or worse, we have loved ones and family members that pass every day, right?
Yeah.
And some of us, I don't want to say look forward to, but but we
anticipate.
And we might anticipate.
Yeah.
A little love offering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coming from the deceased.
Yeah.
Okay. We might be getting our appetite ready for an inheritance of some sort. But before we do that, we have to think about the debt. Okay? Because when you agree to inherit, and I remember learning this in law school and being like, well, damn, ain't that something? I never knew that. When you agree to accept the benefit of an estate, you also agree to the liabilities of that estate. Oh, yes, you do. What you cannot do in any jurisdiction that I'm aware of is take any proceeds without also carrying the responsibility of the debts. So whoever is now the executor of O.J. Simpson's estate, actually, we know who it is. It's a gentleman named Malcolm Laverne.
And two first names. You know what I'm saying? Like being named Karen Julia.
Yeah, well, we know there's this got to be a strong black man.
Malcolm Laverne. Malcolm Laverne.
Malcolm
Laverne. Excuse me. Malcolm Laverne.
There's two black first names.
That's right.
O.J.'s, I'm surprised O.J. had a black executor. I'm going to move on from it. OJ had a black executive.
Let's be clear. The reason that I have this take on OJ, right?
Right.
You done played in our face for too many years. You know, I remember the OJ trial, and it was so eerily similar in feeling to watching Diddy's L.A. home be raided. It reminded me of watching that Bronco chase and feeling like, wow, this is, you know, just such a huge moment in time. Mm-hmm. But OJ has done a lot of playing in our face after, you know, he's gotten out of jail and or gone to jail for this stealing the memorabilia. Yes. Wrote a book called If I Did It. You know, it's that kind of shit.
That kind of shit
makes you not have as much room for grace and, you know.
And honestly, for me, it's that kind of shit. But it's really also the, while these Negroes, but he didn't say Negroes, are mm-hmm. in the room with me because mm-hmm. I don't do them. Mm-hmm. I don't fool with them. It's that type of stuff. It is the intentional dismissal of Black culture and the role that Black culture has played in your ascension and your survival and the continued nastiness and hostility that this man has continued to show the Black community. It's his anti-Blackness for me. To me, like, he's cut from the same vein as the anti-Blackness we're currently seeing from Kanye West.
Yeah.
You know, like if there was a White Lives Matter t-shirt available in 96, he would have put it on and wore it to court.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at with OJ. All right. You made me go. I really didn't want to go there.
Hey, we had to do it. Okay. We had to do it.
All right. So this executor of his estate is saying that he's going to do everything in his power, Dustin, to make sure that not a single penny of the $33.5 million judgment that has been awarded to both the Nicole Brown Simpson family and Ron Goldman's families, that they won't see the light of day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that takes some kind of nastiness.
Oh, for sure.
To even in this man's debt. Like, it's one thing, and I think this is trash and a low integrity piece of shit move on OJ's part too, to say, I know I owe you, I know what the court said, and I'm going to do any and every scam, scheme, and hustle I know, including stealing my own, anyway, to avoid paying you during my lifetime. But sir, you're dead and gone. So what is it to pay the due owed on these people's loved ones' murder?
Literally.
Literally. What comforts do you need with this $33.5 million? Like, you're literally dead and gone, sir. Pay these people. But he won't. Simpson's will was filed Friday in Clark County Court. This is, of course, Nevada, mm-hmm. by his executor. The document shows that Simpson's property was placed into a trust that was created just this year. So he knows, of course, that he knew he was dying. He had pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's disgusting. So under Nevada law, an estate must go through the courts if the assets exceed $20,000. So we do know, we don't know exactly how much money OJ has in this estate, but we know he wasn't dead broke like a lot of people died dead broke. He was not that. Malcolm Laverne, the executor, says this is a quote, so nasty, so rude. It's my hope that the Goldmans get zero nothing, them specifically. And I will do everything in my capacity as the executor or personal representative to try and ensure that they get nothing. Although Brown and Goldman families have pushed for payment, Laverne said that there was never a court order forcing him to pay the civil judgment. And again, because I don't fuck or care about OJ at all.
Mm-hmm.
What I do want is our jurors to listen to the fact that if you have a judgment, securing the judgment is one thing. It's a good thing. It's a step towards justice and getting your paper. Without additional legal work, and unfortunately, oftentimes, Dustin, this literally means hiring yet another lawyer to come in and actually get that judgment enforced. You have to make people pay you.
Which is what we're seeing with Cardi B and Tasha K.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, how that's she's coming in, they're analyzing the funds, and there's been more work
chasing
done.
That money. Yeah. What, you got a new account popping up, bitch? It's like, what's the little game you play with? You whack-a-mole?
Yeah. Every time you see it, boom.
Okay, you trying to do something on, what's this? You trying to monetize Instagram, bitch?
Bow,
boom.
Okay. Hide money over there in them African accounts?
Gotcha.
Bow.
Listen, wow. Okay, listen, damn. Listen. Oh, you thought you was going over to Switzerland, bitch?
That's it. Okay. So, damn.
Yeah.
Well, hey, when you're owed something from someone, you should chase after it.
Listen.
You know what I mean? You should.
Listen,
dead or alive.
Dead or alive.
Like the song says, wanted.
Dead or alive, okay? You're so stupid. You know what? We're going to take over all the genres.
That's right. Renaissance.
Classic rock, okay. volume 3.
Okay. That's it.
I can't
That's
stand
it. I'm telling you, that's how I would feel. I don't blame them people. You owe me, bitch.
Hell no.
Especially over something as serious as that. When you murdered my family, allegedly. You know what I'm saying?
And a jury actually said, you know, while we can't necessarily go proof beyond a reasonable doubt of guilt, which is the standard in the criminal, they said we think it's more likely than not. That's literally this legal standard, Dustin. In civil court, the standard is lower. That's often why you'll see a different result. So who else is about to have to pay some way or another? I believe is your former president, Dustin.
Well, thank God. Throw the book at throw the bookshelf at him.
I was actually halfway surprised to see, as we were coming into the studio, he actually did show up to court.
You remember the movie Weird Science? In the movie Weird Science, they turned the bully older brother named Chet into a big glob of shit. You remember that in that movie?
Do.
And that it's always been eerily reminiscent of Donald Trump to me in size and smell, all that other shit.
Just the sensories.
So good. So he's in trial. Give a round of applause to him.
Shout out to his first day in criminal trial.
I hope it's terrible.
He has made history today. I want to just alert the people, the jurors, as to the history being made today. He is the very first former United States president to ever be criminally charged and actually go to trial. So we are at trial. This was not dismissed pre-trial, despite many, 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 many attempts from Trump and his legal team. This has made it to its first day at trial. Prosecutor Manhattan elected DA Alvin Bragg is literally leading the case. I don't think the irony is missed, Dustin, on anybody that this is a black man in America seeking to have some justice done as it relates to a particularly vile anti-black white man in this country.
Yes, for
sure. So those optics, again, kind of like if people want to stay in the space of the OJ trial and the verdict and what it means as it relates to the optics, because I've heard that argument a lot in these recent days after OJ's death. You know, it's like, well, but, you know, we just needed a win. Okay, well, how about this? How about this is the win? How about that?
Hey.
You know.
I don't have that allegiance. You know, a lot of black people feel obligated to defend O.J. Simpson in some way. I don't. He didn't give a damn about being black, so I don't feel that black allegiance or loyalty.
I think it's the opposite. Like, not only did he, because it's some people, like there's levels, right? Like, there's people like you and I, Dustin, who go out into the world every day, and we make it our business. Some people condemn me. They say, I make it too much my business, bitch. We understand you black. Well, no, I need to tell you 30,000 times, though my name is Ebony Kiana Williams. Arguably one of the blackest names.
I love it.
I think that's an extremely black moniker.
Very strong.
Thank you, Gloria.
Yes, that's right. Thank you, Mama Gloria. You know that's my girl. But yes, and I love that you include the K.
And if you drop my K, it's a fucking problem.
Yeah, it's not okay to drop the K.
It's not okay to drop that K.
That's right.
So you've got us. Then you've got people like... well, I won't name anybody in this particular moment. I might name them later.
Yeah.
But you know,
we'll take it easy on
them. You know, it's episode one. We're going to ease into it. season three.
Ease on.
There are people, dozen black people, that their blackness, and I've heard them say this, it's neither here nor there. It's not something they run away from, but it's certainly not anything they run towards. You know, we'll call them kind of, their blackness is at an impasse.
That's right. It's at an impasse.
But then you've got these real aggressive, like OJ, and to me, Kanye.
Oh, for sure.
And other folks that you'll never hear.
I know exactly who you're talking about, too.
Right, right. And y'all can stop tagging me.
Because
in the videos and in the interviews.
No interest.
I will never in my life use up the good credibility God has given me and that you as audiences have blessed me with to amplify the devil.
That we won't sully this program.
But those individuals, they are people who show up in a pronounced posture of anti-blackness. They make it their business, Dustin, to regress and further subordinate the posture of blackness and positioning of blackness in America and in the world. They are literally the, what do we used to call them on the plantation? They do the oppressor's job better than the oppressor. They are the Stevens of Django.
Yep.
Because truly, if it wasn't for Steven, Django then would have got away.
Exactly. But there's always one.
Well, and so and sometime in this case, two or three.
Yeah.
So back to Trump, Alvin Bragg.
That's right.
and thank God he is the prosecutor elected here in Manhattan. He will be leading this. So he represents really what could be. And here's the political significance, Dustin. This particular case, this is known as the hush money case. Okay. For those who haven't been brought up to speed, this is the case being brought by this district attorney in Manhattan This, again, is a criminal matter. They are felonies, and they might probably, possibly, but most more than likely be the only criminal trial that precedes the election. So we all watched Fani and the shit show that went down in Atlanta. We will get back to that. Don't you guys worry. We will cover that. And then
I can't
wait. Yeah, because there's a whole lot to say about Fani and that man and all this bullshit. But regardless, that will likely, if it sees the light of day via a trial, it will almost certainly, Dustin, not happen
until after November.
Before this election, mm-hmm. before November 2024. So Alvin represents what many are calling politically, Dustin, kind of the last stand, if mm-hmm. you will, of if there's going to be any criminal consequences mm-hmm. that attach to this man prior to him being on a ballot to serve as America's commander-in-chief, have the nuclear codes again, and be the commander-in-chief of the most powerful military force in the world. So that's a lot on Alvin. How do you think Alvin felt this morning when he woke up?
Like the man. He probably woke up this morning and listened to some good, you know, southern black hip hop.
Yeah.
That gets you some shit to
I
get you
in the
mall.
I hope he woke up and listened to some Jay-Z Wayne.
Or
some Wayne.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Listen,
this is Hustlers music. How about that?
That's what I would have been
Jeezy.
Listening to.
You know, yeah. I think that that's the morning he had. He probably had a good breakfast.
Good ass breakfast.
That's
you think
right.
he had some grits?
Oh, he definitely had grits. He had that toast that you don't put in. He made the toast in the oven this morning.
Oh, like put it on the tray.
Yes.
Oh,
on that cookie.
He said, fuck a toast oven.
With the pat of butter.
That's it.
That's
the
he had this, real oh, that so real
stick,
toast.
A stick of
okay,
butter.
That real
this
toast.
Ain't, this ain't
morning.
A what's it country crock?
No, this ain't no spread, that, baby.
This is no,
this
spread.
Ain't no country crock.
This is
over
not
here.
No margarine.
No, that ain't no imperial nowhere. Okay, this is salted butter. I think he had a traditional black breakfast this morning, yeah. and he went in there to
some hard sausage.
Oh, hard sausage, absolutely
yeah.
fried. You know, I can
hard.
Smell it right now,
mm-hmm.
and they probably can smell
some
it right
Jimmy
now in that courtroom. That's right.
Yeah.
Let it be a warning. You smell that breakfast on me? That's how you know I mean business.
That's all. I think you're right. I think Alvin woke up and had him a good breakfast and mm-hmm. is having him a good day. So this is Trump through Michael Cohen, who used to be his boy,
mm-hmm.
paying Stormy Daniels. Y'all know she is the adult star,
mm-hmm.
pornography queen extraordinaire,
mm-hmm.
paid her $130,000 in advance of the 2016 election, but during the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And this is important that it happened during the campaign.
Because that's what makes
because
it.
Because
that's
the starting point, Dustin, of what makes it a crime. But I'm going to connect the dots to tell you how it became an actual crime.
Okay.
It comes after the election. So you put Stormy in place to get paid off. You have your boy Michael Cohen slip of the money, $130,000 to what? Be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this is important. No one is penalizing Trump. He is not in court today, y'all, for having sex outside of his marriage.
Mm-hmm.
He's not in court today for having sex with a porn star.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what this man is charged with. He is charged with exactly 34 felony counts, and they all are felony counts. Falsifying business records, and this stems from the reimbursements to Cohen after he arranged the hush money deal. So what does that mean? That means that Cohen paid Stormy $130,000, Dustin, during the campaign but before election. But after he was elected, so now you're the president.
The president, as a sitting president.
As a sitting president, you were so stupid as to then reimburse Michael Cohen for his $130,000 as a sitting president. When what you really could have done, not that I encourage this type of behavior.
No.
But what you, listen, never. Because no, but for real, not never.
Mm-hmm.
But what you could have done is sat tight. You only served one term. I hope Michael Cohen ain't hurting like that for $130,000.
Like, come on.
I hope not. Not y'all.
Because you shouldn't have gave that out. That's the number one rule. Don't give it, you know, unless you got it.
Unless you got it. So he should have been able to sit tight. And when you came out of office in 4 years, hit him on the back end, make mm-hmm. him whole, and then this would have been different. But because you chose to do that while sitting in the actual Oval Office as the fucking president, now it's a crime.
That's right.
Now, this is the falsifying of a business record. And then he did the most, Dustin. This is where it gets into the falsifying part, because there's a paper trail, right? Like $100,000, $130,000, you're not walking in mafia style with a briefcase of money. But there's a paper trail somewhere, right? So how do we account for why
mm-hmm.
the sitting president is giving Michael Cohen $130,000? Oh, well, you'd have made up a whole retainer schedule just made it up. Here's the falsified document piece of Alvin Bragg's case.
Yeah.
And you're putting a monthly, like hourly bit, like, oh, Michael Cohen took a call about this issue.
Just lying.
Just make lying. And that's why you've got 34 counts. So all really, really, really a mess. Then there's the allegation. There's a statement of fact piece that's a part of this case. It's not a part of the criminal indictment, but basically this is a legal mechanism, Dustin, where a prosecutor can say, I just want to put the court on notice of these particular things. They're not a part of the charges per se, but I'm going to reference them as to why this case I am bringing is stronger.
Yep.
So this involves another Playmate model. Well, Stormy didn't really make Playboy, but we won't hold that against her. This one did. Her name is Karen McDougal. She was an actual former Playmate, and she claimed that she had sex with Trump. She sold this story to the National Enquirer. She got paid more than Stormy. Shit, Stormy actually had to do the deed, and she only got $130. This one really was the hustler. Miss Karen McDougal said, I just talked about it. I might have done it, might have not. National Enquirer gave her $150,000. But to acquire and kill the story, which is commonplace in a tabloid society. And the allegation from Alvin Bragg's office, Dustin, is that in doing that, paying that money, there's another crime afoot. So he's not being charged with that crime, but he's saying that the fact that that was also in advance of these other dealings, these other falsified records of Michael Cohen and his fake legal services, it's all together. It's all connected. Yep. It's a lot. But I just want to reiterate that Trump is not in court today, y'all, because he had sex with a woman or a woman outside of his marriage or any of that. He's in court for reimbursing, for taking money while the president and reimbursing his boy that paid off
Stormy.
Mm-hmm. I was about to try to cause some mess, but Stormy is the best. Stormy is safest.
Mm-hmm.
Paid off Stormy, and then you made up a whole fake accounting book as to why $130,000 had to be paid back to Michael Cohen, and you falsified all of these fake legal bills that did not exist.
Wow, sneaky, dirty acts.
Dirty acts
that happen from a dirty all man. The time. This from is how they do business man. All the time, and it's just now being focused on because of who it is.
Yeah.
But this is how they do business all of the time, making things go away, moving money inappropriately, all of that shit. Mm-hmm. So here we go, throw the book at him. It's got to be a big book.
Yeah,
throw
the book at him. So let's talk about what throwing the book at him looks like, right? So under New York state law, the big question is, and these are low-level felonies. I want to be clear. These are level E felonies. This is the lowest felony
classification
that is permitted in New York. And they could have been misdemeanors, except for they're not misdemeanors. That's why Alvin Bragg filed that statement of fact document I just told y'all about, because he's saying this National Enquirer piece shit is what makes me go with the felony option.
Yeah.
Because other crimes were clearly afoot. Okay, I like saying that.
I love a foot. I love a foot.
I remember when I learned that legalese kind of, I'm going to be in a foot.
Yeah, it's a foot. There's mess afoot.
There's gossip afoot.
There's blessings afoot.
There is blessings afoot.
How about that?
How about it? So what can Trump go to jail? That's what everybody wants to know. And the answer is actually yes.
I hope so.
not that you're rooting against anybody. never that.
Oh, no.
No, he can go to jail. So actually, each one of these many, many felonies, 34 felony counts, carry a maximum sentence of 4 years. Mm-hmm. It could be as low as 1 year, could be as much as 4 years. And then the judge is the person that has jurisdiction over what the sentence will actually look like. The jury, and I want to be clear, a jury will decide if it's a conviction or not. He could be found not guilty or guilty. That's the jury.
Right.
Jury selection is starting today. So that's what they're doing in court today. Trump actually went to court today. I was surprised because he's supposed to go, but because he is who he is and the circus that will ensue with him being in a court of law, the Secret Service, the security, the protesters, the counter-protesters, there is such a thing available to him as a waiver, which normally, I want to be clear, normally when you have any criminal court appearance, you have to go. So y'all listening at home, don't be asking your lawyer about no waiver from an
this
appearance.
This don't apply to you.
It don't apply to you. When you get elected president, that's when you can have that conversation. Up until then, take your ass to court.
That's right.
Because you don't want no failure to appear, because that's a whole other can of worms.
That's
we'll
right.
talk about that in a future episode.
Okay.
Okay. Now, sometimes in a civil claim, oftentimes, you don't have to be there.
Yeah.
But this ain't that.
This ain't civil.
This ain't civil.
This ain't civil. That's right. Okay. No, but good. Okay.
Okay, country.
Mm-hmm.
I see what you did there.
That's right.
No, this is very much criminal. So he's in court. The jury will decide whether he gets convicted or not, but the judge will hand down his sentence. And Trump has really been antagonizing the shit out of this judge. I want to be clear. He has been naming the judge's adult daughter, showing this woman's photograph on social media and on that little stupid ass truth, whatever shit social media he owns. He has been harassing this man's family and this man. I'm talking about the judge. And it's really a wild tactic. I understand that that type of posture feeds his base. You know, his particular political base loves that. They love to see him be the bad guy and be the anti-hero. But I think you're forgetting, sir, this is not just political theater
at all.
This ain't that. This is actually a real criminal trial. And you are actually facing what we call an active sentence. Okay.
Good.
Yeah. So the judge can sentence him, Dustin, up to several consecutive 4-year terms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is unlikely simply because it's unlikely. But what also could happen is he could get as little as, if he is convicted, and I believe he will be.
Mm-hmm.
Let me stop bearing the lead. I guess I should say that part out loud.
Yeah.
I believe he will be.
Yeah.
Most legal experts believe he will be. And most of us think just because he is who he is, because he's Trump, because there's political consequences, he will likely get a probationary sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also available to the judge. But the judge might mess around and surprise some folks and say, you know what? You were found guilty on this many counts out of 34. I could give you up to, I mean, y'all do the math. I mean, it could be several years.
Yeah.
Several years, because each one is 4 years possible.
What, you said 1 to 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
So minimum of one?
Minimum of one, but maximum of 4.
For each one.
Yeah. So the judge could just say, like, I'm going to just give you 4 years consecutive on three counts. And that's a 12-year prison sentence, right? Right that quick. You know,
I love to see that.
I know you. Y'all should see the smile on Dustin's
face
right now.
This is music to my ears. You know what I'm saying?
You look like I look when Allen Iverson gave me my flowers.
That's right.
In my dreams. All right.
Just happy. Just happy.
Just happy.
Yes.
Just pleased.
Mm-hmm.
Pleased.
Pleased.
But like I said, I think it'll be probation. But he also could give a concurrent sentence.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't know what a concurrent sentence was before, you certainly knew what one was after Malcolm X. Remember that scene? Spike Lee fell out.
I haven't watched that movie in so long. It's time to revisit that at this stage of my life.
Oh, my God. Yeah. If you would like to come over to Casa EKW,
we could say less.
Because I own it. I own the extended version.
Say less. We're going to do that. Movie night coming up.
Yeah, movie night coming up. Also, I have to have my good friend Natalie come over. Because you know what she's never seen, which I think is a crime against humanity?
What?
This Is It. She's never seen the Michael Jackson This Is It documentary.
How did she miss? We watched that just to be nosy, if anything else.
Yeah, I said, well, first of all, I'm half taking away your black card.
Yeah.
And you got to come over, because I also own that. I own some really random shit in my digital library.
I'm coming over. We're going to enjoy that.
So, yeah. So, concurrent.
Yes.
Means that those sentences run on top of one another.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can see the judge giving Trump even just a concurrent. I could see it.
Send his ass.
That would send a message.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's also possible that he could get that sentence, get an active jail sentence. And if Trump, heaven forbid, and I don't care, I am on record as saying, heaven forbid, Trump gets reelected. And I have my reasons. That sentence could be suspended until after his presidency is up.
Well, fuck that. We want to see him go to jail. ASAP.
Face turned so fast. He said,
right. No, thank you. It's been too long. There's been too much spaghetti thrown at the wall, you know, so to speak.
And some of it has stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. More of it has stuck than I anticipated.
And I'm glad he's been harassing that judge, because I want him to piss the judge off.
Oh, the judge
off.
Is mad,
good.
Baby.
Yeah. Good.
Again, mama or daddy, don't be playing with people's kids, adult or not.
Who the fuck do you think you are? Well, we know who he thinks he is.
Yeah.
The president.
Well, I think he's going to fuck around and find out, because president or no president, again, this notion of that has never been done before doesn't apply here.
Mm-hmm.
It's also true that a president has never been criminally in court mm-hmm. before, not a former sitting U.S. president. And yet here we are. So we are in currently unprecedented territory.
And there's so much going on in the news cycle that unfortunately it's not getting the attention that it deserves.
I agree. But I almost like that, too, to be candid around the politics of it, Dustin. Let this just be another criminal trial. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's not give it too much energy. Just let the Middle East war, let Ukraine, let the stock market, let all of that dominate the news cycle. And quiet as kept, this former president is over here being convicted. Yeah. I'm just fine with it.
I am too, as a matter of fact. Let's just get it done quietly.
Mm-hmm.
Move in silence.
Mm-hmm. That's my favorite way to
move. Yeah, that's the only way. Like, what did Lil Wayne say? Real G's move in silence like lasagna.
Yes.
Okay.
Much like the G in Malcolm.
That's right.
Hey, the silent G. All right, y'all. Listen, thank you for just staying the course.
Yes.
And just trusting myself and Dustin that we were never gonna leave y'all hanging.
That's right.
As we said in the trailer, there was just a touch of business we had to stand on.
Had to stand on, baby.
Just for a minute to get everything right.
We're here. Thank you. I'm glad to be back as co-host, Ebony. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. In your extremely busy schedule, y'all see half of what Dustin does, and the other half is not for the public consumption. But y'all see all the platforms this man is on. You see all the content he creates on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. So the fact that you and our senior producer, Miss Ashley Hobbs, made
absolutely.
The time. You know, seriously, the band is back. The band is back together. Shout out to Dossie.
Ashley, Dream Team,
the Lieutenant.
Yes.
You know, we got the band back together.
Yes,
and it's going to be the best season ever, y'all. We have a surprise coming for y'all in just a couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. Y'all going to see something you've never seen from Holding Court. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to literally show it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you. So listen, rate, subscribe, comment. Let us know what you think about cute little anime trailer.
Yes, I love that. Yep.
Yeah,
Came
back so right. Shout out to Justin who did that. Brilliant.
Incredible
job. We'll tag him. A brilliant black artist and creator, and we're excited. All right, y'all. We will be back here next week with a brand new episode. We say that again.
Brand new episode.
Be all new episodes.
That's right.
Every Wednesday when we drop. And in the meantime, y'all stay safe. Take your allergy medicine.
Please. We got to stop these histamines. We got to block them.
Histamine.
Block out the histamines.
Okay.
That's what we got to
do. We need a Benadryl sponsorship.
Okay, we do. I've been using it for so long. I know how to stay up on it. Okay.
Are y'all going to sleep?
I can stay up on it. All right.
Oh, my God. What you want the people to do, Dustin?
Please, please read your terms and conditions.
Y'all, Holding Court is produced by Uppity Productions. Host and executive producers here, Ebony K. Williams and the Dustin Ross. Senior producer, Ashley J. Hobbs. Executive producer also in Dossie McGraw. Creative consultant, Jake Kleinberg. And we've got original music by Epidemic Sound. We love and appreciate you.
Yes, we do.